You're listening to The Taint, Kantar Live program, Bloomberg Markets, weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern on Bloomberg.com, the iHeartRadio app, and the Bloomberg Business app. Or listen on demand wherever you get your podcasts.
We have an opportunity to talk about steel right now with David Stickler. He's the CEO of Hybar. It's a newly formed company. He comes with a lot of experience, though, as the CEO, former CEO of Big River Steel. And he's in the studio with us right now, so I think it's a great opportunity to get a look at, you know, one of the underlying sort of signals of economic growth or, you know, contraction. Thanks so much for joining us, David. What's the steel market like right now? Because it's obviously a primary building block of the economy.
Sure. The steel market is, if you look historically, it's in very, very strong shape. It's been in strong shape for 18, 24 months now. But the steel market, when you talk steel, a lot of people look at just half of the equation. They look at what the steel price is. And today, 70% of the steel in North America is made from recycled scrap metal. All right. Now that's different where 20 years ago, 70% was made from iron ore and coking coal. So there's been a huge, huge shift in the sustainability of steel making. But when you look at steel price, as I said a moment ago, that's just half the equation. It's what's the scrap metal price. And it's really the spread that everybody plays in, and that's where you make your money. The difference between scrap metal and steel.
What are the benchmark contracts that you look at to find that price?
So you really in the steel industry, unlike the aluminum industry or the oil industry or the gas industry, you don't have a liquid futures market. So you're really looking on a daily, monthly basis on what the scrap price is trading at, all right, what you can buy scrap metal for, and then you're trying to add on your margin to set your steel price. And that's really, gentlemen, what's interesting, Matt and John, is with scrap metal, there's nothing else to do with it other than make new steel.
But they have scrap metal overseas, right?
They do.
And when I'm buying stuff like that, I would imagine as a purchaser, I'm just looking at, you know, who's the best producer, the best price I can get.
And
those are two different things, by the way, right? The best producer and the best price you can get are often two very different things.
Hugely different. Now, you can buy steel.
Steel isn't steel?
Steel is not steel. You can buy steel from all the reaches of the globe, pretty much. You can buy it from China. You can buy it from Russia, Brazil, India, Japan, Korea, Canada, the U.S., and imported steel certainly is here and will always be here. The difference is the quality and, more recently, the environmental sustainability. I will tell you, the global average for carbon emissions per ton of steel, for each ton of steel, the world average is 1.85 tons of carbon. All right, one ton of steel, 1.85 tons of carbon in the air. The last mill, prior to my Hybar effort here, our carbon emissions was 0.123.
But how would I know that as the consumer? I mean, is it stamped on the piece of steel, in lumber?
By the way,
David, you're not selling steel rebar to John for his home renovation project,
the stuff,
right?
I buy in Home Depot.
You've got much bigger customers.
Yeah, these are bridge, tunnel, airport projects, roadway projects, 60, 70, you know, floor office and condominium towers.
And I've heard we are going to do a little bit of infrastructure spending in this
country. Oh, we certainly are. And what's interesting, since the 1960s, anytime there's been a federal highway dollar used in a project, there's a concept called Buy America. The rebar has to be melted, cast, and rolled in the United States. All right. Now, that's been around since the 1960s, so when you talk about, hey, can I buy some rebar from Turkey? Absolutely you can. But if it's a federal highway project, you're restricted only to U.S.-produced rebar. All right?
And I guess, you know, especially with this administration, they probably want to do better a better job for the environment. We import as a country like 30 million metric tons of steel every year, but that is incredibly pollutive, right?
I'll give you an example. So on the West Coast, there's really no natural home for scrap metal. So it either has to travel east into Chicago, into Arkansas, into the Carolinas where steel, a lot of steel is produced, Texas, or get shipped overseas. So you take your scrap metal off your West Coast ports, ship it over to Asia, gets put on a truck that you don't want to be anywhere near driving behind with all of the pollution coming out of the tailpipe, gets melted in those steel mills that, as I said, 1.85 tons of carbon, you know, per ton of steel, put on a truck, put on a ship, delivered to the West Coast. That is not an environmentally
bunker sustainable. Fuel both ways.
That is not environmentally sustainable.
So what will you do? You were at Big River Steel. Now you're at Hybar. You're focused on recycling in the production. What will you do differently than your competitors?
Well, number one, we'll be LEED certified. At Big River, we were the world's first LEED certified scrap metal recycling steel production facility. Leadership in environmental design. And LEED certification is typically for office buildings, hospital complexes, university buildings.
We have it at the Bloomberg headquarters.
When people heard that we were going to get Big River Steel or attempt to get Big River Steel LEED certified, they thought we had lost our minds. But we did it. And after 2 years of operation at Big River Steel, Daimler Mercedes called us up and said, Dave, are you going to be in town in 3 weeks? I said, well, I am. They said, we want to give you our Environmental Supplier of the Year award. And not just for steel, not just in North America, everything that Daimler Mercedes buys, plastic, glass, aluminum. Here's a two-year-old company at that point in time, given our LEED certification, given our carbon footprint, and that really makes a difference. Now, what I will tell you is, people don't pay more for our steel because it's environmentally sustainable, but everything else being equal, if my steel's selling for $1,000 delivered and one of my competitors up along the Great Lakes that uses coal and iron ore to make steel selling for $1,000, 9 times out of 10, we'll get the order. It's like a tiebreaker when you go to Vegas and the house has, you know, the blackjack tiebreaker. I'll take the tiebreaker.
What's the future of the industry? Do you face competition from things like carbon fiber?
You're always facing, you know, replacement. You know, for a while it was going to be the cars are all going to be aluminum. The steel industry is going to be on its tail.
Talk about an energy-intensive industry producing aluminum.
Yeah, can I? And energy-intensive, carbon-intensive. You know, the one thing about aluminum is you do have, you know, a high level of recycling. You're seeing a shift away from plastic bottles to now water and other drinks are being more and more in aluminum cans, aluminum bottles, what have you. So the aluminum industry is here to stay. It's not going away. But to answer your question, the steel industry, the key is lightweight and strong, all right? Lightweight and strong. And 30 years ago, steel was, you know, half inch thick. It was, you know, you couldn't bend it, couldn't press it. It was tough for some of these applications, and aluminum and carbon fiber were, quite frankly, nipping at the tails of the steel industry. The steel industry, to their credit, has come out with advanced high-strength steels, corrosion-resistant steels, and really, over the last 20 years, has just done a complete life cycle change. When I first started this 20 years ago, steel making was 80% brawn, 20% brains. Today at Hybar and Big River, it's 10% brawn, 90% brains.
We have this green market steel Bloomberg company Rebar report here available to our terminal customers. Is there, you think, enough support for sustainability around this industry?
I don't think you'll see a green premium. All right, there's a lot of people in the industry saying you're going to be sustainable, you'll be able to get an extra 10% for your steel products. I don't believe that. What I believe is a tiebreaker. If you're the most sustainable, you're going to get the order, everything else being equal. But I do not expect a developer, a builder, to pay me a premium because my steel is green.
All right. Well, we're going to be hearing more from you at this roundtable discussion here at Bloomberg. So we're glad you could stop by the radio booth and talk to us because it's a fascinating topic. And I think John and I love all the things that are made of steel.
No, I'm in the market for rebar for my basement. So I'll keep you in mind.
John and Matt, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.